Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's so good to see everyone here today to celebrate what the Lord has done in our lives, to give thanks and praise to God who has given us life and given us to each other as the body of Christ in this place. We rejoice in God's presence and in God's blessings and the chance to share those, to celebrate those together today. I invite you to stand for the call to worship, which is number 145. Stand as you are able in the hymnal, 145. Let's read this responsively. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom.
There is no one like you, O Lord.
One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts.
There is no one like you, O Lord.
They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. They will tell of the power of your awesome works and will celebrate your abundant goodness.
There is no one like you, O Lord.
Please turn in your hymnals to number 433, Rise Up, O Church of God.
The desire to be in this place above all others and offer you our worship and praise, our thanks and our love. And we pray, O God, that today we would not just be a meeting of mortals, but mortals who have met with a God who makes his presence known in our midst today. Lord, we need to know that you are with us, to feel the love that you have for us, touch our lives today and bless us as we worship you. So we pray for an outpouring of your Spirit that will anoint us and bless us, even as we seek to bless you with our praise, our prayers, our attention to your word, our gifts, and our presence here. We come as your children, Father, and pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please be seated. Welcome all of you today, and if you're visiting, I would point out that in the pew is a green flyer that we would like you to fill out with your name, address, and you can also use that for a prayer concern if you want to write a prayer concern for sharing later at the time of pastoral prayer. So use that for both. If you're visiting, you fill out your name and address and use it for prayers as well. The bulletin has a number of announcements. There is a meeting right after worship today in the fellowship hall. The deacons invite you to come and discuss their proposal that we maintain one service throughout the fall and winter, rather than going back to two. and we want to hear from everyone and get ideas and concerns and suggestions with regard to that topic. So if you can stay and discuss that with them, where our chair is set up in Fellowship Hall, we'll have some drinks available, tea, iced tea, some coffee. So please stay and let your voice be heard in that discussion. Want to again invite you for prayer mentions in here on Thursday nights. We have the prayer meeting at 7:30. I appreciate them because I was suffering from hiccups all last week, but Friday I was done with them, and people prayed for me on Thursday night, so I appreciate that. We have the name of the pastoral search committee in here today too, and we want you to please keep them in your prayers. We want to want to thank everyone who took part in the SunSpark Labs, and we left some of the material up so you could just see what it was like and sort of imagine what it was like to be here. But you can't really describe Rick Little leading Pharaoh. You have to see it to believe it. But it was a delightful week, a wonderful program. We learned how science fits in with teaching us the things of God and His love for us. If you can see the green ball, it's deceptive. It's really a gravity verification device.
Sphere.
Gravity verification sphere that Dr. Petrie and his lovely assistant Sally taught about every morning with skits. So there were teachers, there were helpers, there were, of course, the leaders, Doug and Ann. We appreciate so much all the work that they did. And the parents who helped supply not only the monetary gifts each day, but a wonderful selection of food items that would go to the local food pantry that are here kind of out of sight on the front row. And Cindy wants to make a further announcement with regard to that.
Good morning. Well, my announcement really has nothing to do with Vacation Bible School, although we did have a great missions week with the food and raising like $527 or something to buy special water buckets that will filter dirty water in the Batez in Dominican Republic. Which brings me kind of to what I want to talk to you about. In about 5 weeks, we're going to have a great, great concert here at the church at 5:30 at night. Outside, weather permitting, which we're praying for good weather, with Revelacion Maranatha. Now, they were here on a Sunday morning probably, I don't know, maybe 4 years ago. Does anyone remember coming to their concert here in the sanctuary a few years back? Well, if you remember, if you were here, you remember, I'm sure, because they're a very lively band, and so we're looking forward to that. But the Mission Board needs a little bit of assistance, because we need to feed 20 plus people and house 20 plus people for two meals in one night. So to that end, in the little foyer when you're coming into the sanctuary in the back, there are three sign-up sheets. Well, there's actually five. I'll tell you about the other two in a minute. There's three sign-up sheets. One, if you have an empty bed at your house that someone could sleep in, like in your guest room or whatever, and the guys don't care if it's like a double bed, they'll sleep two in a bed, they have no problem with that. It is mostly men that will be there. So if you could provide a bed for someone to sleep in, that would be wonderful. If not, we're gonna look for like air mattresses and sheets and blankets, and some of them can sleep here at the church. In that case, we need a couple of homes where the guys could come and take a shower, because we don't have shower facilities here at the church. Regarding the food, there's kind of three different times we're going to feed them. One is going to be in Sunday afternoon. I'll be traveling with them, and we'll be coming from Worcester. So when they get here, while they're getting set up, we just want to have like appetizer type of food, you know, crackers and cheese, chips and dip, maybe some fruit, that kind of thing. And then after the concert, we're going to feed them a meal, which basically is because of what they like to eat. Should be mostly a chicken or a rice or maybe some vegetables and a little bit of sweets. They like sweets, but you know, they don't need a ton. And then breakfast on Monday morning, which I think we'll probably cook here at the church, so people can just bring, you know, I put some suggestions like eggs and some kind of bread and some fruit and those kind of things. So you got a few weeks to think about what you can do, and there's those three sign-up sheets. There are two other sign-up sheets One is, anybody who's ever gone to Laramont in the last 30 years or 29 years, there's a sheet for you to sign up and say that you went, and if you can remember what year you went. And then, we're trying to promote people to go next February, so there's a sheet that you can sign up. If you eat, it won't, you sign up on the I'm thinking about going to Laramont sheet. It's not gonna say you're required to go. It's just you're thinking about it, and then we'll work with you, and we'll see if you actually get to go. Thank you.
Are there any other announcements? Yeah, Bob.
This week we have our high school and college age Bible studies at my house, and we, as Pastor Mike already said, we have a church-wide prayer time on Thursday evening, 7:30, you can make it for that. And then in a couple of weeks, we want to get a bore in on and focus in on our pool party. We're going over to Pastor Mike's house. We understand they have a nice pool, and we are going to have a good time over there, so we're looking forward to that. That's down in Canton. We'll be here at 1:30. It says 2 o'clock. We'll be over at their house at 2 o'clock, but we'll be here at 1:30 for that. So if you have any kids in high school, college age, excuse me, high school and junior high age, we'd love to have you come on up for that.
Our song leader has been called to the back by Lorenzo. Newest addition to our congregation. She may or may not be back. But if you will turn to Psalm 36, verses 5 through 10, our first scripture reading this morning. Psalm 36, verses 5 through 10. Page 874 in the Pew Bible, if you're using it. Hear the word of the Lord. Your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your justice like the great deep. O Lord, you preserve both man and beast. How priceless is your unfailing love. Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house. You give them drink from your river of delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Continue your love to those who know you, your righteousness to the upright in heart. I'd like you to stand as we sing number 633, Open Our Eyes, Lord. We do want to see Jesus revealed in the scripture, revealed in our presence. And this is our prayer, number 633. To go into our sharing of joys and concerns for the pastoral prayer. So what I'd like you to do, to give everybody a chance, certainly something this week has given you some joy, you've seen God's blessing. I'd like you to do what I call a neighbor nudge. Just turn to somebody near you, a neighbor in the pew, and share with them some way that God blessed you this week, some sign of God's blessing you saw, some piece of joy that came your way. You can cross the aisle, you can go wherever, but just share what God has done, the blessings He has given you this week. I like asking, where have you seen Jesus? Got to share, because God is always touching our lives, always working in our lives, always giving us the opportunity to see blessings. If anyone has a green prayer concern slip they'd like to send forward, please just hold it up and one of our deacons will get that and bring it up. There's one. We have several that are listed inside the bulletin, and one, unfortunately, didn't get completed, the third one down. Doug McFarland, our newest member, has been diagnosed with Lyme disease. He's just very weak and tires very easily. We want to keep him in our prayers. He is on the medication that should help him, but it's a slow process. And Jan Cuneo's daughter, Jennifer, is having surgery on her foot. But Peter and Mary McLean, the third person down, Peter was diagnosed with a brain tumor and had surgery Friday, but Ellen didn't know yet the outcome or his prognosis after that surgery, but that was the issue with Peter McLean. It was a brain tumor. A prayer request for Carol Conley, who's a friend of Maureen Willett's, with very high blood pressure that's causing heart and health issues. Prayers for a successful cataract eye surgery tomorrow for Liz Holbrook. And prayers for the pastoral staff, deacons, and pastoral search committee for wisdom. Good prayer for a safe and uneventful trip for Christy Engel and Michelle from the Baptist World Alliance in South Africa. Are they coming here?
Christy will be coming here in October.
Okay. And praise for a wonderful week of VBS. Many kids heard the life-changing message of the gospel. That was a very delightful time. Let's take these in our own prayer concerns to God. Lord, we are reminded that out of the mouths of babes and infants, you bring perfect praise. It is a delight to hear the voices of children. To know that you look upon us as your children, even though we can speak words and put sentences together. We are still children in your sight. We are beloved by you. You look upon us with favor and mercy and grace. You understand our failings and our shortcomings, what it is when we fall. And it is you who pick us up, who give us strength to go on, who enable us to find restored hope and energy to carry on in life. We praise you, Lord, for your goodness and love, and for how you have shown that to us so clearly through Jesus Christ, who walked among us, touched us in our places of need, healed our diseases, blessed us with peace and comfort, and welcomed us even as you welcome us in Christ. We give you thanks that in this past week our church has known the blessing of the SunSpark Labs and all the ways that children and adults were touched by the truth of the gospel during that week. We pray that seeds planted in young hearts would grow and in your good timing bear fruit for your glory and praise. We give you thanks for being enthroned in grace, where grace and mercy abound to us in our times of need. So we're glad to pray to you for Doug McFarland and for Jennifer, for Peter and Mary, for Nancy and for Ann, for Luke and all these others on our prayer list who need your touch of healing and help, comfort and peace. We pray safety for Christy and Michelle as they travel, and thank you for their work with Baptist World Alliance. We pray for Carol Connolly, Maureen's friend, that her health would recover. We pray that you would protect Liz with her cataract surgery tomorrow. And we pray, Lord, for the wisdom that the staff and deacons and pastoral search committee here need. We're grateful that all of our needs are known to you, and that before we ask, you know what it is we need, because sometimes we can't even put into words how we feel, what we need, what our request is. But you are the searcher of hearts, and your Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for our words, but you understand the Spirit, for the Spirit prays according to the mind of God, and we praise you. The prayers go up for us even when we cannot pray. We are grateful, Lord, for this church and opportunities we have to minister in our community and throughout the world. We thank you for needs that are present, that we can reach out and touch lives and bring about change, because your Spirit in us puts people on our hearts and moves us to go there and help them and bless them. And we pray that in our nation you would pour out wisdom and discernment upon our leaders and on the leaders of the world. Decisions can be made that lead to peace and prosperity for more people. And that wherever those are found who are fighting against evil, you will give them success and victory. Lord, we commit our time of worship to you with thanksgiving for your truth found in Scripture, for your Spirit who helps us understand it, and for the ways it can transform our life to make us more like Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. As we worship through our giving of God's tithes and offerings, I invite the choir for a day to come forward. I have set the Lord always before me, and I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. invite you to stand as you are able for the doxology. To share in the work of Jesus Christ in the world through the bringing of these offerings. We pray that you will anoint them and send them forth to accomplish your purpose in our church and in the world. We ask it for your glory and honor. Amen.
Please turn in your hymnals to number 406, Wonderful Words of Life. And on the last verse, if children ages 4 through 3rd graders will come forward for junior church. That's what we did in Bible school. Here's a picture of the buckets that we raised money to buy that can turn water like this, that's dirty and full of junk, into clear water that people can drink safely. We raised money to buy these buckets and send them to people who don't have clean water. We can turn on the faucet and get water like this or go to the water fountain. When you have to take your water from a river or a pond, that's not going to be clean. But we're thankful that God let us raise enough money to send several buckets to help people have water to live. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for the water we have to share, water that gives us life. And we thank you for Christ promising to make the spirits flow up from us like a river of life out of us. And so we pray that today in Junior Church you will be a blessing
And let your truth bless these children and bless Alyssa who teaches them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming. Go have fun. Nice to have children come up for children's church class. Invite you to turn to page 1648. It's the second chapter of John in the Pew Bible. For our morning text for the sermon. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine, after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Let's pray. Lord, in this story, we who would be your disciples today want to see your glory. We want to see that you are as real and as powerful and present as you were then. And so we pray that by the work of your Holy Spirit, you would move through my words and our attention to your word. And help conform us more to the image of Christ so that our lives would show more of your glory as well. Amen. Once when I was a teenager, I got the family car for the night. I'm fooling around in Mountainville, West Virginia, feeling really hot. Then I ran out of gas. So there was this stone jar sitting there. I filled it up with water and poured some in the tank. No, not really. But the Lord was good to me, and he sent a friend along who offered to take me to the gas station. On the way to the gas station, my friend ran out of gas. Truth. Now, running out of gas two times in two cars in one night is probably pretty rare. And it was inconvenient. But because it was just me and him, it wasn't really embarrassing. But to run out of food or drink at your own party, that can be an embarrassment. Or she can be embarrassed without running out. Two nights before our daughter Jessica and her fiancé Alex were married, his family was coming to our house for dinner. They had flown into town for that day. We were waiting for them to come from the hotel to our house. I was grilling chicken breasts on the grill. They didn't come when they were supposed to come. And they were delayed, and they were later, and they were later. And by the time they arrived at our house, these chicken breasts looked like charcoal briquettes. I didn't know enough to keep, you know, getting them off there and moving them. And somehow they managed to cut through this outer black crust that was there and find something edible. It was one of those times where I wish I had run out, but I was still embarrassed, you know, that I had enough food, but it wasn't really the best. But if you're having a party, whether it's a reception like that or a potluck after church or a funeral collation, you don't want to run out of food and drink. That's the, kind of the cardinal rule. And that's especially true in this scene in Cana in the first century where the wine failed. Because it's a week-long event. And the bridegroom, having run out of wine, is not just going to be subject to some ridicule or some scorn, some practice, some, you know, jokes in the future. He's failed in a fundamental social duty to his community. So he risks a lot more than just some momentary scorn as some Scrooge who didn't buy enough wine to the party. He's really going to face the risk of permanent social ostracism. He's going to be remembered forever as the guy who didn't have enough wine for his wedding when the wine ran out, when the wine was gone, it said there. It's intriguing that when you look at Romans 3:23, one of Bob McKinnon's memory verses, I'm sure, maybe some of you others as well, that Paul uses the same word to describe us as this word that described the wine that gave out. Because Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Fall short is the same word as give out. So my point is that what was true of the wine at that wedding was true in a spiritual sense of everyone at the wedding. They had fallen short of what God expected of them. Because of their sin, their righteousness gave out. The couple, the guests, the servants, the disciples, the steward, even Mary, all of them had failed to meet God's expectations for their life and reflect His glory the way they were supposed to as God's created creatures created in His image. They had failed and fallen short of that. They'd given out. Had the bridegroom provided enough good wine and was generous and abundant, it would have been his glory. See, they would have talked about that party for years to come. But when the wine gave out, it reflects poorly on him. It falls short of his glory, and it marks him. It shames him. In a similar way, when we are created to reflect the glory of God, ideally and perfectly, but sin has kept us from doing that, we fall short of God's glory. But at that wedding, there was a man who's not going to fail. A man whose grace would not run out. A man whose power would not fall short. This was the Son of the Lord God that you heard described earlier in these words in Psalm 36. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness to the clouds. We feast on the abundance of your house, O Lord. You gave us drink from the rivers of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. God specializes in abundance, in bounty. A couple weeks ago, Vicki and I took our grandchildren to the Franklin Park Zoo, and in that wonderful place called the Butterfly Landing, you see just hundreds, it seems, of varieties of butterflies. And Vicki said, you know, God could have made just one kind of butterfly. But instead, God made so many because God delights in abundance, in variety, in bounty. And like Father, like Son, Jesus does the same thing. He is like His Father. There were 6 stone water jars standing there, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus didn't go around counting heads, you know, one glass per person, that ought to be, this ought to do it. Well, we'll give 2 to the guy in the back. But and just give the minimum. He says, fill these six jars up, somewhere from 120 to 180 gallons, call it 150 for an average, 150 gallons of wine. Now, I've never been to a party with 150 gallons of wine. But Jesus said, that's what we're going to have here. Out of his abundance and bounty, he provides that. The servants might have thought Jesus was trying to pull just a 150-gallon practical joke on the bridegroom, because they poured water into these jars. But as John says, the water became wine. John doesn't say how it became wine. He didn't offer a scientific explanation. Now, it was funny in Bible school because we had Dr. Petrie and his lovely assistant Sally, his sister Lindsay, who were up here experimenting and explaining things like the gravity verification sphere. And he would give an explanation that wasn't quite accurate. And the lab assistant would always give an accurate scientific explanation of what really happened. But here, you see, in John, there's neither one. There's no explanation of any kind. John doesn't say that Jesus did anything. There's no other words that he offered except fill the jars with water, take some out, and give it to the steward of the feast. How easy it was for Jesus to supply this great need with great abundance. How simple a matter for him to transform the ordinary water into the best wine of the week. Jesus met the need when the wine gave out. Now think about us when we give out. Because of sin, our ability to reflect God's glory properly and perfectly fails. And that failure shows itself in a variety of unrighteous ways. And so for a moment, just use that failed wine as a symbol of the things in your life that from time to time give out, fall short, fail. Can anyone recall a time when your patience ran out? My hand's up. Yeah, my wife will testify to that. Or a time when your hope failed. Maybe a time when your emotional endurance in a situation just fell short of what you needed. The list goes on. Because all of sin and fallen short, everything in us is likely to fall short or give out sooner or later. We know our strength gives out as we grow old. But our compassion and love can fall short in the face of great needs, in the presence of our selfishness. Our patience can fall short when we can't solve a problem that we face. Our love can fail us, our skill, our ability can fail us as we seek to build or rebuild a relationship. Our resistance might give out when we succumb to some strong temptation that we face. Our peace of mind can fall short in a time of stress or pressure. I had that happen just last week when I took Catherine and her daughter Sophie to Logan Airport for their flight back to South Carolina. In Terminal C, where she was flying out of, they've got that little thing where there's pretend airplanes. I don't know if you've ever seen that. The kids can play on these while they're waiting. So I'm there with Sophie while Catherine's going to the restroom. She comes out and says, I need to change Sophie before we fly. Can you go and get milk for her so that she'll have that on the plane? So, great. Catherine and Sophie go into the bathroom. I go down toward the gate, and I stop and get milk and go on to the gate. Well, at the gate, they're calling people to board the plane. Children, you know, come first. Catherine and Sophie aren't there. Where? They're going to miss the plane. I'm fly back up to where I left them, and they're standing there waiting for me to come back. I thought we were supposed to meet at the gate. No, I thought I was waiting for you here. So I was totally stressed, thinking my daughter and granddaughter are going to miss the plane. I had no peace of mind until they were finally on the plane and flying away. But you know what we need at those times? We need someone with enough peace that they can sleep through a storm at sea. We need someone so strong he could resist every temptation he faced and not sin. Someone whose wisdom and patience and hope and love never give out. We need someone who can take our watered-down discipleship and turn it into something that is worthy of God, something that is full of taste and color and life. We need someone who can turn water into wine. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. And so from the bounty of His own steadfast love and faithfulness, God gave His only begotten Son, full of love and steadfast love and faithfulness, to meet all our needs and give us abundant life here and now. Jesus stood in our place, obeyed God perfectly on our behalf, died in our place bearing the punishment for our sin in His body. Jesus did not fall short of the righteousness and glory of God. He was the full reflection of the Father's glory, and He completed all that God required on our behalf. And so now, this is the wonder of grace, the amazement of grace. As members of His body, we receive the perfect, full, complete righteousness of Christ in place of our sinfulness. God no longer counts our sins against us. We are reckoned righteous by our faith. The fact that we fall short of God's glory is no longer counted against us. Hallelujah. Jesus met the greatest need in our life, the need for salvation, the need for a Savior. And so we can trust Him with lesser needs, you see. Trust Him to meet lesser needs. Trust Him and turn our failures into fulfillment. Jesus can give back whatever is given out in our heart, our hope, our love, our life, even when all we can do is tell Him the problem. And that's the lesson we learn from Mary, you see. If your Bible's still open, you see what she says. They have no wine. They have no wine. She turned to the one person she trusted to do something, the one person she knew could do something. But she didn't ask for anything specific. She didn't tell Him what she wanted Him to do. She didn't give Him her wishes. She just told Him the problem. They have no wine. You know, sometimes it's our ability to pray that gives out. Something has happened to us that hits us so hard, so deep, so fast, we don't know what to pray. We don't know how to pray about whatever it is. Mary tells us, teaches us, all I have to do is tell Him the problem. My husband lost his job. Dad has cancer. Oh, Lord, I really messed this up. When all you can do is tell Jesus the problem, that's all you need to do because that's all Jesus needs to know. What's the problem? And then He will do what is best. If we can only tell Him the problem with Jesus, that's enough. And we see that at Cana. Jesus came to supply what we lack, to atone where we sin, to restore the righteousness that had given out of us. He came and lived as one of us. He died for us. He was raised for us. And now He reigns over all things for us who are His body. And while Jesus was here one day at a wedding at Cana in Galilee, Jesus turned water into 150 gallons of wine to reveal His glory as the great and bountiful Lord come to meet our needs. For in our time of need, His time has come. In our time of need, Jesus reveals His glory of one whose supply never fails, whose bounty never gives out, whose abundance is ours to share. We sometimes act like we have to wring the merest blessing out of God's hand. And God would just give us the minimum because He's somehow withholding from us. It's like the immigrant family who purchased their passage on a ship from Europe to America and brought along enough food for the journey so that they could ration it day by day and make sure they got to America with food. And so every day they're huddled in their cabin and they're passing out their meager amounts of food so that it will last. And one day their boy who's wandered off and found food and he brings back a plate full of wonderful, delicious, healthy food and they think, you stole that somewhere. What happened? Oh no, the food is included with the ticket. Jesus has paid in full for our passage to heaven. And with the purchase come abundant blessings to enjoy in this life. Jesus invites you to His Father's house to feast on God's abundance. He offers you drink from the endless river of God's delight. Not just in heaven when our voyage is over, but every day of the trip down here. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it in abundance. He said life does not consist in the abundance of things. Jesus isn't talking here about giving you everything you want, giving you more clothes and more money and more cars and that $65 million jet to fly around the world. Jesus didn't say, get all you can from God. He'll give it, just ask. He said, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. But He said, I have come to give you abundant life, a life that doesn't consist in the abundance of things. Because what runs out in us and hurts us the most is when we lose hope and love and joy and peace and patience. But that's what Jesus gives us. That endless supply through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. His own love and faith and patience and joy and peace and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control and all the rest. The things that we run out of the most, that hurt us most deeply when we lose them. These are the things that Jesus supplies. Jesus gives us in abundance and bounty if we will just ask. When the wine gets out, don't give up. Go to Jesus like Mary did. Tell Him the problem. And trust Jesus enough to do what He tells you to do then. It might seem odd, it might seem strange like it did with the servants, but they did what He said. And when you do what Jesus says, you'll see Jesus meet your needs. You'll see His glory. And it'll make a believer out of you as well. Let's pray. Jesus, so often we beat up on ourselves because we were impatient again. We got angry again. We lost hope again. We didn't trust again. Our joy went away again. Show us that You have a river of delights to restore everything that falls short in us. It's You we need. It's You who are the joy and the love and the peace incarnate. Oh Lord, we want You in our lives more fully, more completely than ever. Life will hit us and hit us hard, and things in us we know will fall short. But when they do, oh Lord, may we turn to You again and again and feast on the abundance of Your house and drink from the river of Your delights. Until we overflow once more with the good things You have to give us in abundance. Amen. Our hymn of response is You Are My All in All, 583. I invite you to stand as you are able and sing together the truth that Jesus is all we need. you that the deacons are going to have a meeting, a conversation, discussion with you over in Fellowship Hall if you're able to stay today. There will be one more scheduled in August if you can't stay today to discuss the idea of a service that's like this every Sunday where it's full of people and just singing and praising the Lord and raising the roof with our voices of song. So please attend that if you can and let your concerns and suggestions be known. Let's receive God's benediction. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of his eternal covenant, equip you with everything good over and over again, filling you with his Spirit, giving you joy and peace and love that is abundant, that you might share those blessings with the world. Amen.